Musically meditated.
Musically meditated.
Musically meditated.
Welcome to Musically Meditated. I'm really, really happy to be here tonight. Have a guest. He's a badass drummer, and his band is badass. You could see that as far as the numbers go. They play a lot of shows locally, and they really, really rock it. They play at Franklin House a lot in Valpo. They've played some Hobart shows, too, during the summer. I'm really, really impressed with his drumming style, but his band and their work ethic. And my guest name is Luke Greener. What's up, Luke?
What's up?
What do you do? What do you play?
I'm a drummer, percussionist.
Percussionist? Did you go to college for that?
Not at all.
No, that's good, though. We don't need that. We need solid, organic percussion flow. Your band is called Positive Vibe Technician. Where'd that name come from?
There's a couple of stories.
Let's hear him.
We have this friend of ours. Well, I'll just say his name is Jack Fetty.
Jack Fetty, what up?
He would come to all of our practices, and this is in the beginning. And he's kind of a jack of all trades, you know, can fix anything, and kind of a roadie. And so he would help us bring in our equipment and help us out.
Just help you out with the nooks and crannies of a roadie.
Right. Well, Wes, good pastor, he's the guitar player in the band. He would always call him our positive vibe technician before we had a name. And we're like, what the hell is that? He would always bring positive vibes too, because he's always in a good mood.
PMA, baby.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's where I was going to go out with the whole name, you know, the idea of the name, but continue with your story. I'm sorry.
Right.
So you got this dude, he's coming in always positive, helping out, moving stuff, good buddy, a good friend. That's what we want.
Right.
We want good friends, not bad friends.
Right. So we're looking for a name, and it is like the absolute worst thing to do, to try to name something or put a name on what we sound like. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's hard to just... Yeah.
What's crazy is you spend all this time, or you try not to, but you spend all this time trying to think of a name, but then when you do pick a name and you get people listening to you, it's like the name was always there.
Right.
It's almost like whatever you pick,
it sticks. If it's good, it sticks, right? If it's good, it sticks.
Right.
And they're good. They're a really good group. Yeah. But yeah.
It's a really cool name.
It is.
Well, the other story is it's like a documentary on 311's early years. And so this dude is interviewing all the roadies and the people in the band and, you know, like, what do you do? What instrument do you play? What part do you have in this whole show? And he goes to this one dude and he goes, I'm the positive vibe technician.
So that's where it comes from.
So basically, I mean, it came from the 311 documentary and to Jack Fetty, which we just said.
Can you name the members of your band? Because I have a question.
Me and Wes Goodpasture, he plays the guitar. Greg Guzman, he plays bass.
Goose.
And Matt Mitros is the singer.
You said two names earlier, and they just seemed like stage names. So I was going to ask if every member of your band is like has fake names. Like
no, they're all real. These are all real people.
Yeah.
Like we have the...
It's our homies.
Correct me, Joe, but the librarium down the street, the coffee shop,
yeah.
Their last name is like Thundercat. Or they got some crazy powerful name.
That's just a badass performer, Thundercat, but I don't know their last name.
But they have like, it's like Storm Fighter.
Really?
I'm silly. I'm tired. I can't remember.
It's all good. It's something German and aggressive.
Straight up like Lightning Fighter. Like it's some crazy last name.
Well, their coffee is really, really good. And they're really, really nice people.
Yeah, they are good
and they
people.
And they have a...
So I'm not making fun. They just have a badass last name.
That is a badass last name.
It is. It's like...
Yeah, as far as the members of Positive Vibe Technicians go, I know Greg Guzman. And he's a really, really good bass player. He's been a badass bass player for a long time. Quick story about him. I remember when I was playing football, he was the dude that would play the songs before we would practice. And a lot of what he had to play when I was so young and so impressionable, like, it stuck with me to this day. You know, like, Greg was the dude that would play, like, Four Horsemen by Metallica. He would play, like, early Korn. He would play old school Deftones. I mean, you know, just everything. Like, Greg was always super fun, and he's perfect for your group, but he is a badass bass player. And then Wes, too, you know, and then Wes Goodpasture, the guitarist, like, his work ethic and his talent combine is really, really impressive.
Yeah, he's
really impressive. Like, he takes his craft serious, because I remember hanging out with you guys like last summer of 16, and you guys invited me over, and I was watching, you know, like your jam sessions and just hanging out and having a good time that summer. It was like early spring, summer of 16, and you know, there was a lot of love. There was a lot of positive vibes, and everybody brought me in, and I really appreciate that. Now, your singer, I don't know him personally, but he's got a great voice, and he pulls off a lot of what you guys do.
He was on American Idol.
Oh.
Ooh.
He's friends with Vince from Pricks on Flicks, by the way.
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
Oh, Vince?
Well, I heard of Vince, too, yeah. He's sexy.
He got one of them golden yellow pieces of paper, too.
Explain. What's that mean?
You know, on like American Idol, when you get make it to the next level or whatever.
Oh, so he made it past the first level?
Yeah, but then he said that when he went to California, he said like there was a bunch of dudes just like kind of grabbing at him, and like he was kind of getting the run around a little bit, and just decided that it wasn't worth it.
But yeah, he's a great singer. What I was getting at, he pulls off a lot of stuff, and not like he pulls it off, but he sounds great. What's very impressive about you guys, like I said, your set list is ridiculous, and nobody can mess with that. Like, how many hours worth of material do you guys have to perform live?
Probably all together. I mean, if we played every song that we knew, probably 4.5 hours to 5.
That's ridiculous in a good way. Like, that's a lot of material. And you told me before, too, you could show up to like a house party, or you could show up to a class reunion and know the vibe.
It's kind of a craft in its own to kind of read what kind of crowd that you're playing to and to have the material to adjust.
Is there somebody in the band amongst you guys that's better at feeling that out?
We try to stick to a set list, but then we kind of throw that out the window every show, it seems like, because
crowd reaction, right?
Right.
You just it's all about the vibe. That's what makes for a really good live show. Like, even bigger bands, like, that whole energy from the performer and what they're putting out there, and then it hits the audience, and then they push it back. Like, that's what's really cool and special about a live show.
Right.
And the fact that you guys can play all different types of genres and get that reaction back, that has to feel great.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, it's got to be a great feeling. And from what I understand, like, you yourself, it's a hobby, but even more so, it's a passion. And from what I've witnessed when you guys play, it comes off very, very original and very passionate.
Right.
And that's a really cool thing to have the opportunity to do, and you've played so many shows, man. Like, I'm really, really impressed with the amount of shows you guys have played live.
We kind of set a standard each year to either do more shows or bigger shows, and we just kind of take it
one step at a time.
Exactly.
You said you played last week. Like, what was on that set list?
Well, see, last week was kind of an older crowd, so we do the classic rock. You know, we play the Beatles and the Doors.
Okay, some like just more classic rock. When I'm asking this question, I want to get into some of your influences, especially like you personally when you were growing up.
Well,
let's dive into that real quick. What are some of your influences as a kid growing up?
My dad was all classic rock and hits from the 70s, which I can't really listen to anymore. You know, it's just so corny.
Well, his parents and my parents are very, very close. And here's a funny story. His father, Jeff, will get into some disco, and then my mom will be like into it with Jeff, and then my dad...
He can't stand it.
And his mom, Sherry, are like, this shit sucks.
I know.
It's funny. So you got like different parents like gravitating towards different music, but that's what music is.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's all subjective, like whatever you're into, but I think that's the best part. But I remember like being a kid, because I've known you forever. I remember your dad being a very big Beatles dude. So the Beatles are an influence, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay. What else, though? I mean, any other, like from a kid going into teenage and then into adulthood?
Right, but I mean, it was always like oldies 104.3. Well, my dad comes from a big family. He's one of the youngest out of 11. His oldest sister was born in like the 40s.
His taste and his palate is pretty big.
It's huge.
That's awesome.
It's huge.
That's awesome.
And so it was everything from Nat King Cole to...
Oh, Nat King Cole's a legend.
Hits from the 70s and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think like I said, your dad and my mother, they connected on like a little soul tip there for sure.
Right.
But back to your influences, progressing, getting older, what got you into wanting to play drums? Were there any other people around at that time to influence you into playing percussion, playing drums, certain bands?
Early 90s, I hung out with my cousin DJ.
Okay.
DJ Field.
Yeah, what's up, DJ? I know DJ Field. Dude, he's a badass drummer.
He knows I'm here.
What were some of his bands that he was in? I can't remember the names.
He was in a band called Euphonics with Jason Summerhill.
He was with Jason.
Yeah. This was like when they were in their freshman year or something like that.
Okay, cool. Freshman year of high school or college?
High school.
Okay.
But it was very Weezer.
Weezerish. Yeah, we're going to have Jason here as a guest. He's a badass drummer.
I love him.
He does some really cool outlaw stuff too, like his own stuff. Like Jason's the shit.
He's the
and
best.
And DJ's the shit too. Like DJ was always a good drummer. He was always playing air drums.
Both of them are just fantastic musicians.
Right.
I mean, all around. I mean, they can play any, you know.
But DJ was an influence to you as far as wanting to play, like, to play drums?
Right, because he had drums all in his room, in his basement at all times, you know. Cool. And so he said, just try to, I don't know if he was on his bass or on a guitar. He goes, play this. And so I just did that, and then I go, man, this is very natural to me. I can do the rhythm.
Right. You can do the rhythm.
But I'm ambidextrous.
Oh, I didn't know that. Figure it out. Connect the dots.
Yeah.
DJ was there. Obviously, you grew up with some stuff with your parents that influenced you. I remember about 10 years ago, I went over to your house and I had my bass, and I knew you were getting ready to play drums, mm-hmm. and I was really impressed then.
That's when I first started to kind of take it serious.
Yeah, because you had the drum kit in the basement. I remember I had a bum knee, but that ain't nothing new.
You had the shillelagh?
I had a shillelagh. My last name is Riley, and I had a shillelagh. Imagine that.
Yeah.
But at any rate... yeah.
Joe the stereotype.
It was such a stereotype. I didn't have a pipe and I didn't have a bottle of Jameson. So, but yeah, I was impressed then, you know, because like, oh, I play drums. Well, okay. And then I went over there and like we just messed around and doodled a little bit, but I was impressed. And then fast forward to Positive Vibe Technicians. Like I said, you guys are kicking ass. Like how many shows have you played with them?
I think it's about 60, maybe 65.
Okay. And like I said, 4 hours worth of material. Like, what's the crowd favorite out of all of them? Like, what's always gets the response, though? Like, the biggest song. There's got to be one song.
Probably Don't Push by Sublime.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's fast and it's intense. There's a lot of stop and start. And when you nail a song like that with the stop and start, it's just like everyone's like, okay, these guys are
They know
tight.
What they're doing.
They're tight.
And I want to get into that as far as your influences go. I know a little bit, but we'll start with the reggae because that's one genre that I don't really understand. And we've talked before, like you said, there's some punk influence in there. But let's start with one band that's very important to me, and I think so to you. And that's where I thought maybe you got your PVT and your name from.
I had a little bit to do with that.
A little bit of Bad Brains. I'm going to go into Bad Brains and the whole PMA, the positive mental attitude. So PVT, I thought there was like a really cool connection there. I didn't know if that's where it came from. You
there
told us earlier, you know, but there's a lot. Lot of PMA and PVT
right
going on there.
Right. I got into Bad Brains after I got into Sublime. I find out what influence they, you know, what influences
who their
them.
Influences were, yeah.
And so with a lot of reggae, it's the same bass lines.
Yeah, it's like a nice rhythm. There's always a nice solid backbone. A bass is a good backbone for any group. And, you know, you got a bass... You got the bass backbone that's in a punk song that's always there.
Right.
So I could see what you're saying.
So they share each other's music. You know, it's just like you can have a reggae bass line and freestyle over it. You know, it's almost like a hip hop kind of thing, but in the Jamaican thing, it's like called dance hall.
Okay.
It's like...
That's a genre, right?
Right. They sample reggae songs, and then they put their own spin on it or freestyle on it.
How about you, Stratton? Were you ever into reggae? Did you go through like...
Still in the reggae.
Are you?
Yeah, when the store closes, I just tell Alexa to play some reggae.
Do you burn Nag Champa?
No, I don't even know what that means. What does that mean?
That's a type of incense, dude.
Come on, man.
No, I hate incense.
You hate incense?
No, I like breathing fresh air. I open all the doors, open all the windows, crank some reggae. I also listen to a band called State Radio. The lead singer is the same singer as Dispatch.
Right.
And they have a lot of reggae influence. It's a lot of like protest music. A lot of their music is reggae-ish.
Well, that's like it's the same message with punk.
Right.
It's anti-establishment.
Togetherness.
Right.
Fuck the system.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's all that in one, you know? They have a lot of similarities.
And Bad Brains did a great job at that. Like their first couple albums, like it was aggressive and in your face, but... As time went on, they put that Jamaican vibe in there, and it was just a crazy way to introduce that style of music with what they were already doing.
Well, it goes like before Bad Brains. It's London. There was a Caribbean community in South London called Brixton.
Yeah.
And they were having, you know, problems with the police and whatnot, just the racism thing mm-hmm. and whatnot. They would have riots and all that stuff. This guy called Don Letts, his parents were from Jamaica, so he had all this reggae knowledge or reggae albums and whatnot that he liked. He got a job at the Roxy, which was a big punk club in the late 70s. And he was a DJ at the Roxy, and he would play reggae records in between punk sets. And so it was like a...
It mixed together perfectly. It blended well.
Right.
Okay,
like,
but go ahead.
Like the intensity of the punk shows, he would kind of, in between the sets, he would mellow the mood, you know?
Right,
To get everyone kind of ready for the next intense...
Intense set or the next act coming up. That's what's crazy about that old school punk, like he's talking about, and he's accurate about this. There's a big connection between reggae and punk in those early stages. I'm glad that you just explained that because I didn't know that, but there were sharp skins, okay? Skinheads against racist prejudice. And a lot of people put this staple on skinheads being racist because that's what we get in America and America media.
But in England,
it all started off as a working class movement, all races, all denominations, all religions. But unfortunately, the American media focused on the negative skinheads. You know, like they adopted that idea and then, you know, it ruined it for all of them. But that's what I remember. There was early working class, you know, like I said, sharp skins that were into the reggae stuff. Like wearing the Fred Perry polos, like I wear Fred Perry, like the whole working class vibe. This isn't any racist bullshit, you know, but like,
right.
I see what you're saying. Like, and the history is important for sure.
Right. Well, then that music started to influence the Clash and even the Misfits and Bad Brains, you know?
Right. Just Bad Brains for sure. There's a band called Death. They're from Detroit. Now, you know, you could argue this for years about punk, like where it started, where it came from. The Ramones are always the ones that, well, Sex Pistols, Ramones, yada, yada. But there's a group called Death from Detroit, and they are supposedly the first punk rock group. So everybody needs to check out. Just Google Death Detroit.
Is that the band where they weren't really known, and then somebody found them years and years later?
Well,
the lead singer was a black dude or something, and the son found something?
They're all black dudes from Detroit, for whatever that's worth. But, you know, the guitarist's son was researching punk rock, and then they made a documentary about Death, and then like the bass player was hanging out. I
watched that documentary.
You know what I'm talking about?
It's crazy. Like 6 or 7 months ago, I watched that documentary, and I don't know, it was on Netflix or Hulu or one of them, but it led me into one of those YouTube rabbit holes because I ended up going online and then looking up like Sex Pistols history, and then looking up that connection between reggae and punk rock, and how stuff in Jamaica was, or stuff in the punk movement in England was influencing Jamaica, and then Jamaica in turn was influencing England, and it was like this, it was just this crazy connection, and how two totally different vibes, two totally different like styles of music, were kind of both about
I'm pissed off.
Absolutely, it's the same message, or it's the same thoughts. I mean, it's the same.
Yeah, and it, what same. Throws you off? You hear punk, so it's and you guys are both musicians, so I'm about to talk out of my ass with confidence.
You do that,
but it's punk is simple. The chords are simple. The drums are like this. The drumming is usually aggressive. The singing's not the greatest, but there's a theme. And reggae has the same themes, but one is aggressive and one is like super chill. But then you listen to the words and you're like, the song is deep.
Very deep.
And same with the punk. Like people are just screaming and mad at the man. And
right.
It goes both ways.
But it's crazy how they're
connected.
Reggae are screaming and mad at the man, but in a chill,
right.
relaxed.
Right. So you think you're listening to chill music. So you're having a beer, you're barbecuing, you got some reggae on. But then you listen to the music and you're like...
Listen to lyrics.
Fuck. Yeah, you listen to lyrics. Yeah.
Back to Death real quick. It's called For the Whole World to See.
Okay, yeah.
They released this in 2009, but it was the first punk rock band of all time, and they're from Detroit. So I'll just put that out.
It's a really good documentary, too.
It's a really good album. Like, they just did a 4-track recording. Like, go back to, what was it, episode 9 with Justin Wallace. Like, he turned me on to them. He showed me the documentary. Then he gave me the CD. I was like, damn, these dudes are good.
He was talking about Danzig.
Oh, he loves Danzig.
Oh, man.
Who doesn't love Danzig?
Right. You know? So after that episode, I put on, I started getting into my Misfits thing, and I was listening to London Dungeon, which was, they wrote that because they got in a fight in Brixton, South London, and got thrown in jail and wrote London Dungeon, and I was listening to that on the way to work a couple mornings ago, all jacked up on coffee.
That song has a really good feel of being in a cold London dungeon.
Absolutely.
And it's
I love that song, man.
Like with Danzig being involved, like that's their best produced track with Danzig being a part of the Misfits. Like it sounds good. And it's a good track.
It's a new wavy, but it's still.
Yeah, it is. It good. Is. But that's why I probably like it. I like a lot of new wave.
Yeah.
You know? But
so he, Glenn Danzig insists on producing, but he's not a great producer.
Is yeah, exactly.
Is that what
that's
says?
My opinion.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. But let's move back. let's go back to the
Wait
bad
till he
brains.
Hears about it.
Yeah, I don't want him to shut down our podcast. Sons of bitches talking shit about me because Danzig's like that. But yeah, man, back to the Bad Brains. You love them?
Love them.
What's your favorite album?
PMA.
PMA. Band in DC. I like their first one.
Live at CBGB.
CBGB.
Oh, just intense.
You know,
just
I'm a Deftones fanboy, and Chino always says, like, the one guy I wanted to act like exactly on stage and try to be was HR. You know, HR, the lead singer of the Bad Brains, he's the man.
Dude, Sublime worshipped him.
Oh, did they? Oh. See, I used to be into Sublime, like, back in the day, but...
Well, see, everyone hears the stuff on the radio, and it's like, that's not them. At all. It's after Brad died, they did their own thing, you know?
40 Ounces of Freedom and then the self-titled. But what was before 40 Ounces of Freedom? What was before that? I don't know. I remember that shit because there was a lot of punky stuff in there. Like, I don't remember the name, but...
Secondhand Smoke.
There it is. There it is.
Ja Don't Pay the Bills.
Ja Don't Pay the Bills.
Yeah.
But you're into the reggae aspect. What reggae songs do you guys play? What Sublime songs does Positive Vibe Technicians play?
Don't Push... Get Ready, April 29th, 1992.
Is that the name of that song? The Riot song?
Yep, that's what it's called.
Yeah, you guys are your guys' group is perfect for throwing a show, like a good vibe. That's what I really like about it. Like, Sret and I are going to, you know, start a party, a rooftop party. We want you guys to show up.
Yeah, it's just...
And then with being able to have 40 songs or, you know, like, what do you want us to play?
Right.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Right.
You know? It doesn't get any better than that because Wes is a badass guitarist. He's a badass drummer. Goose can play the bass. And what's his last name? Migos?
Matt Mitros.
Mitros. He could sing. So
he's got a good voice, man.
He does. He does. He could pull it all off. You guys do some Doors. You do the Doors, I remember.
Yeah, we do Roadhouse Blues. There's probably a couple more, but
okay. I'm
not sure.
Yeah.
Like I was saying, like with the set list, it's just like, what are you guys feeling?
Do you ever forget it? I mean, that's a big...
No.
Okay.
I do not forget it.
How often do you guys practice? How do you keep everything sharp and tight?
Well, we've played these songs so many times. It's just like our practice is the show because we'll go a month without playing a show, but then the next month we'll play every single weekend.
See, yeah, I can't keep up with your guys' shows, but that's a good thing. You guys are always playing live.
It seems to go in spurts.
How often do you practice a week?
Maybe once.
Okay.
If that. Right. But I mean, if we have a bunch of shows every weekend, then...
It's not necessary.
No. And we've played these songs so many times. It's just like... I mean, it seems like a lot of songs, but I've been playing them like all the time, right. You know?
And I think that's a good connection. It's your passion. It's your hobby.
And we'll, we'll if songs are in the same key, we'll combine songs and, you know, have like three songs in one and like not stop.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Like those 40-song medleys on YouTube.
Right.
Somebody just uses three chords and sits there and plays for like 20 minutes straight.
Right. But, I mean, those are for like the hippie jam band crowds. No, I mean, you have to have something for everybody.
I want to get into this real quick. When we had Wallace here as a guest, I can't speak for him. Maybe there was some bashing of the cover band thing, and it's a good debate. And here's my spin on it. You have... a huge selection of music to play. Right. From what I'm gathering so far, this is what you love to do. And not only that, you're getting paid. If anybody has anything to say against that, like, who gives a shit?
I don't give a fuck.
Exactly.
You know, but we play everything, you know? And the fact that people want to hear the songs that they like, can't help that.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I think everybody's okay with that.
Right,
yeah.
And that we play for 4 hours,
It's awesome.
And it's just like, they want to pay us. We didn't go out there saying, well, we're going to make as much money as we possibly can. We are just four guys who enjoy the same kind of music and love playing our instruments.
Love playing them. It's your hobby, but it's your passion. And not only that, you know, you are making money to do what you love, you know, besides your regular day job. And I think that's an awesome thing. And I know this much, you guys are the best at doing that in this area.
Thank you.
Seriously, like you said, who cares what people think? This is what you do. This is what you love.
Right.
And I see that. Like, you know, when I hung out with you guys last summer, like, that was something I witnessed. You guys are good.
We all have families, and we all have careers, and this is just what we do as a release, to just play.
And you're lucky enough that people actually want to listen to you.
Want to listen, yeah, because everyone's a critic. You know, I mean, I'm a critic. Stratton can say this, I can say that, but you're actually doing it. And not only are you doing it, people want to hear you. You know, like, people like what you have to do, but then you guys are all badass musicians, but what you're putting out there is just quality.
And as far as
all the different genres, I'm sorry to cut you off, but all the different genres, like, you guys are killing it.
Thanks, but as far as writing music, we're not opposed to that. It's just we haven't sat down and actually, I mean, we've jammed 1,000 times, and if someone was recording us, we would probably have an album.
Right.
You know, because...
Right. In due time.
Right. We're not opposed to writing music, but it's just practicing once a week or getting together for shows. That's like a craft in its own, because we're all very busy, and for us to take time out of our busy schedules to get together is a testament to how much we love music and how much we love playing music.
Yeah, you guys are a really good group. Sratton, you got to check them out.
I will.
You will?
When's your next show?
See, we usually, our next show that we have booked is at Finnegan's in Dyer. I'm not sure the exact date, but it's in February. And then there's been talks with 18th Street Brewery for a St. Patrick's Day show.
Cool. Do you guys do any Irish tunes? Anything kind of Irishy? a little Flog of Molly or something.
No,
I mean, if you guys got 100 songs on your playlist, maybe you could do that. I know you could. Really happy having you guys, having you here. It's Positive Vibe Technicians is a very positive vibe at all times. But really good band, really good musicians. And one more thing though, I have to get into the reggae.
Let's hear it.
What's some influences, man? Besides. I know you like Ziggy Marley. I know you like Bob Marley. Let me hear what you've been jamming to lately.
Bob Marley's kids, they are, I mean, it's not like, I want to sit here and talk about other reggae artists other than the Marley clan, but I mean, they're the ones that are doing it correct. Okay. You know, it's not a fluke thing.
And then
it's a mindset, and it's a family tradition. You know what I mean? They're extremely passionate on carrying what he represents, carrying it forward. You know what I mean? So all of his sons are fantastic artists.
And Ziggy did some stuff with Nas. That's what I kind of remember.
No, Damien.
Damien, my bad. Damien did stuff with
Nas. It's called Distant Relative. Damien is the one that fuses reggae and hip-hop. His Stony Hill album. Never listened to that album?
No, I never have. It's a good one?
It's a good fuse of hip-hop and reggae. Okay. You know? And dancehall is, what they would do is they would play reggae songs without the lyrics, and then they would freestyle over the song.
Very cool.
Yeah. So it's kind of the same as, like sampling, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm. But before sampling as an actual act.
Right.
Rapping over other beats, almost like a mixtape.
Right, but it would be all in patois, which is Jamaican.
Rhythm?
No, it's Jamaican language, which is English, Spanish, and French, and African language, all mixed into one.
Okay.
So, like, if you go to Jamaica, you will not understand what the hell they're saying, because it's patois.
What about this Sturgill Simpson character?
There you go.
That you were telling me that you liked a lot.
Love him.
What's up with him? Stratton, do you know about him? I don't have no idea about him.
No.
I've heard
the name.
Now you got to tell us about him and tell us why you love him and why you like him.
He's from the old school. He don't give a fuck.
Okay.
He's old school country. Lyrics are fantastic.
When you say old school, you mean like he's got that Johnny Cash old school vibe?
Waylon Jennings.
Yeah. Who else rings a bell? Little Hank Williams, old school Hank.
Old school Hank, Willie Nelson.
Because that's just the kind of...
That whole vibe. But his lyrics are like revolutionary.
Okay.
He's done a lot of acid. He thinks outside the box.
Okay.
And so
is he open about the fact that he's done a lot of acid?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Just different with most country. You could be a hardcore whiskey drinking alcoholic. You could be a wife cheater, like cheating on all the women you're with.
I'm sleeping with my dog in my truck.
They don't really talk about the hard drugs, even though a lot of them, that's a bold statement, even though there's been some of them that have dabbled in hard drugs.
Like Hank Williams was a heroin addict. People don't know that.
No, they don't.
And he was. He was bad. OG Hank had a problem.
Yeah, for sure.
He had a big problem. He had that monkey on his back. It's not a funny thing, you know, but I mean, he was a heroin addict before it was really
going on. Well, Sturgill didn't decide that he wanted to actually pursue his musical career until his wife was just like, you're actually pretty good at this. You should pursue this.
Aww.
And so, exactly. Yeah.
But no,
the love story. Yeah.
I like it, though. Yeah. I like it.
So, but he got turned down, you know, a bunch of times. So, but he knew his stuff was good. So he made a bluegrass album. I didn't listen to that until later. You listen to those songs and they're like, damn, those are good. But like no one was paying attention to him at that time because no one knew who he was.
How long do you think he's been out? How long has he been out?
Probably 2000, about 13.
Okay. Okay. Because I know he's huge now. I know He's got a
following. Think 13 was his first. I think it's called like Sunday Valley or something. It's very bluegrassy, but you listen to the lyrics and they're just tight.
They move you.
Tight lyrics.
Tight lyrics.
Yeah.
Like Morrissey. Morrissey's got tight lyrics.
That's right.
Yeah.
Back to Morrissey.
I know. I always got to throw him in there. It's like a curveball. I have to. I just got to throw a little Stephen Morrissey.
In a couple episodes where I think I'm thinking about doing a drinking game. So if you're at home relaxing and you're listening to Musically Meditated,
see how many times Joe says
you
got to
chug your beer. So if you're you got to chug your beer the minute that Joe talks about Morrissey.
But I understand where you're coming from with that.
Yeah, me too.
Then his
kind of his, he shrugged. He's like
his second album is extremely psychedelic. It's Metamodern Sounds in Country Music. It's just psychedelic as fuck. And then his recent album Sailor's Guide to Earth is very it's very.
How much acid does dude
eat? A lot.
It doesn't sound like country albums at all. I'm really curious.
Yeah,
it's psychedelic country.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Never heard of that.
Never heard of that either.
I love it.
You're turning this on, man.
He's my favorite. I've seen him like every single year since.
Is there another country person that dabbles in that type of almost subgenre?
No.
Sounds original. Sounds OG.
He is OG.
He's OG?
Absolutely.
He is, isn't he?
Absolutely.
Good for him.
He won Best Country Album.
Last year?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
But he has nothing to do with Nashville, or he's not on the radio. He was actually, like when they had the Grammys, I saw a picture of him on Instagram. He's playing an acoustic guitar outside of the Grammys with his guitar case open for donations. But he has his Grammy in the guitar case.
Mm-hmm.
But he was not invited to the Grammys. But he won Best Country Album of the Year. Good. But with the new album, this was in 2016, he added keyboards and horn section. And it's more like a funk.
Like a Miles Davis Bitches Brew funk?
Kind of, yeah.
We want to get off
kind
on
of.
That? Yeah, a little crazy?
Yeah. My favorite.
It's your fave? All right, good.
So you got all the Marley kids. So I wanted to ask about the Marley. So how many sons are there? And one of the daughters plays
like
too,
six.
Or am I being stupid?
He was like, he banged like everyone. Bob Marley.
And he didn't pull out, evidently.
None.
He never pulled out?
None.
Okay.
He's got like 13 kids. I'm not even kidding you.
All right. He's got a lot of children.
But six of them are known reggae musicians, right?
About six, seven.
Okay. Of those six, are they all, can you tell who's who? Or since you said that reggae is kind of family tradition now, like they just know what the art entails, how to make the music, how to create. Can you tell which one, like which kid is who? Like do they all have their distinct style within reggae?
Yeah, for sure.
So they're not just copying their dad or...
No, they all bring their own style to reggae, you know? And then, like, some of the songs, like, you wouldn't say, this is not a reggae song, you know? But it's their own version of the music,
mm-hmm.
you know? Ziggy's more of the... He's the oldest, so he's the more kind of traditionalist.
Classical guy.
Right, right.
Classical reggae.
Right, but then, like, Damien, who's the youngest, he brings hip hop and dance hall into his music every time. You know, he collaborated with Nas and distant relatives is, I mean, I wouldn't say it's a 10, but
I saw Nas last year at Riot Fest. It was cool.
Yeah.
Nas is one of those rappers that's kind of maybe forgotten about. I don't really know how to describe him. His first two albums are great, you know, Illmatic and Stillmatic. Like, they're the shit, you know, like in hip hop top 10s, right, maybe, you know, but when he branched off and did the reggae thing, it was cool.
But I wouldn't call it reggae. It's a fusion,
okay,
of hip hop and reggae. Roots reggae is what people identify as reggae, roots reggae. But there's, just like with metal, there's subgenres.
Right.
You know, which is ska, which was before reggae, and rocksteady, which was before reggae, and dancehall, which was after reggae, and
Who knows after that?
Yeah. I have a newbie question.
It's all, go ahead.
I have a newbie question.
Yeah.
Ska and rocksteady. Is Jamaican ska and rocksteady the same as American ska and rocksteady?
I would not think so.
Ska is like trumpets and faster.
A lot of brass.
Yeah.
Jamaican ska?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very ching, 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 ching. You know what I mean?
So it is different.
It's different.
Okay.
Rocksteady is
more on the
jang,
beat. More on the beat.
Jang, reggae, check, check, check.
Okay. I like
it's
breaking it down by the beat.
Right, right.
That's one thing. Like, when I play the drums, it's really hard for me to do one thing on the hi-hat. You know, like, I'm always following my hi-hat with my drum pedal. I need to stop doing that. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely. Yes. Yes.
I don't know how to do that. You know, getting into you being a drummer, like, how do you do that, man? Like that's, tell me.
Practice.
Practice. It's like one of those things, like patting your head.
Absolutely.
And rubbing your tummy.
I brought up me being ambidextrous. It helps me.
Right.
It really does, because I don't know which hand is dominant. You know what I mean? So I can go crazy on a hi-hat.
So that's why you can do what we were talking about earlier, but we didn't say it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead.
I don't know which hand is best, you know?
Oh, right. You can sit on
it. At drumming. Move on, at drumming.
But
it is what it is.
How do you do that, man? Like that, like doing a different thing with a different beat. Like, I, you know, I could try to, when I'm messing around, but I'm just totally like left foot, right foot, not, you know.
Right.
How
but
do
then,
you?
But then you have to do the hi-hat pedal too. So it's a craft in its own.
It's a craft in its own for sure.
Yeah.
So the secret is practice.
It's practice.
But, it really is.
It helps to do things with all limbs.
Let's get into another artist though. We talked about it earlier. What's his name? You said he's winning a bunch of Grammys, and I like him. I've talked about him a couple times. What about the beard, and he sings with his wife?
Oh, Chris Stapleton.
Tell me a little bit about Chris Stapleton.
I know everything about Chris Stapleton.
Let's hear it.
You look like a Chris Stapleton fan.
Yeah, I don't know much beard? About him.
I mean, my blonde big beard. Nobody knows what I look like. My blonde beard and my really long, dirty blonde hair.
Yeah.
And this giant cowboy hat that I always have on.
Yeah, you are quite the Western fella.
Yeah, no.
What do you know about Chris Stapleton? Did you tell us?
He was just on the Joe Rogan's podcast, that's all.
See, that's what you were saying earlier.
And he's a Nashville guy, and he went through that music grind, like where he's a musician, and he started playing guitar and writing songs, and then he went out to Nashville and went through that whole... I know he's written tons, like he wrote a ton of songs for a ton of people. He was one of those Nashville songwriters.
You know that song, Baby Turn Your Lights Down Low?
Yeah.
You know that song?
No.
That's a good version of it. Baby, turn the lights down.
Yeah, that's he wrote that song. He wrote
Did
that.
He really?
Yeah, he wrote that song.
I told Joe before, because we mentioned him before, and we don't, like, I don't know a lot about him, but the cover
him. Nobody
saying,
can give you a...
Dude. Go ahead.
One of his songs that made him blow up was a cover song, even though he's a prolific songwriter.
Tennessee Whiskey.
Tennessee Whiskey is a cover.
I thought
it was original. It's an awesome song.
I do love it.
It's an awesome song, but
who
he's
wrote
got
that song originally? That's the question.
Yeah, I don't know.
Some dude.
Dorks.
Like, you're the expert.
Not really.
I don't know. I don't know about.
We don't have to know everything. And we have a no Google policy, mostly because we don't have internet connection in here right now. Otherwise, we'd Google it.
I'm just coming with this off the top.
I know about Sturgill. I don't know about Chris, dude.
You know about Chris?
Not really.
But I know he wrote.
I know that. Tennessee Whiskey is a good song.
It's a really good song, but it's a cover. But he was one of those Nashville songwriters, and somewhere in between him writing like 1,000 songs, he just started putting out albums with his wife. Or he's the lead guy, plays the music.
That's what I like about
him. How romantic.
It is, though. Like, he was on Tiny Desk.
Yeah,
I love Tiny Desk. and he's with his wife, and it just seemed...
Can we talk about Tedeschi Trucks Band?
Sure.
You can.
You know about Tedeschi Trucks Band? I'm going to go see them in
Do you know about January. Tedeschi Trucks Band?
Absolutely. I'm a huge Allman Brothers fan.
Let's get into Allman Brothers then. What's up with that group you're talking about? I have no idea.
Derek Trucks is probably, if not the best, one of the best slide guitar players on the planet.
Okay.
He's
a bold statement.
He doesn't, I mean, look it up. Google.
I believe you.
He doesn't fuck around.
That's why you're here.
He doesn't fuck around whatsoever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He replaced Dickie Betts.
Dickie Betts, that's a great name, by the way. Who was the original
Member of Allman Brothers Band. He was an alcoholic, you know. Greg Allman got clean and was kind of distracted by Dickie Betts. He was still kind of struggling, you know, and he was showing up late for shows and just wasn't taking it serious. Well, they asked Derek Trucks, who was the nephew of the drummer, Butch Trucks. He was like a child prodigy. I mean, you look it up on YouTube, Derek Trucks, 13 years old, just ripping it up. And so as soon as he was like of age, 21 or whatever, they're like, okay, you can leave. And we're going to have you play guitar in the Allman Brothers.
Yeah, Derek Trucks, man. I know the name.
Allman Brothers are no more, but he's doing his own thing.
Did he wait till they broke up?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they broke up and then he's like, I'm going to do my own thing.
He had the Derek Trucks bands when he was in the Allman Brothers. Mm-hmm. But then they really started touring after their final show in 2014.
Oh, okay.
He's just amazing.
He's the shit.
Cool. He's the shit.
Who else is on that list?
You know about Guns of Brixton?
No, what's up with Guns of Brixton?
The Clash?
I love The Clash.
Dude, Guns of Brixton bass line is maybe one of my favorite bass lines.
Is that a song?
Yeah, it's The Clash, but they're doing their version of reggae.
Oh, okay.
But the bass line is just sick.
What I always liked about The Clash, and we talk, like, here's the night, album cover-wise... If you look at The Clash's first album, it looks like Elvis's first album. As far as the font, like the background is black and white, and then the font is like pink, and then it's teal. And The Clash, they're smashing a guitar, and the Elvis is, you know, Elvis's first album, he's just doing his Elvis stance, if that's what you want to call it. But that was really, really cool of The Clash to do that. Like, well, I mean, it was just ahead of their time, you know?
Right. I mean, it goes back... to Brixton is South London and the whole reggae punk thing. It's just complete reggae bassline, but it's new wave and punk, and the lyrics are just, it's about the riots. It's
awesome. London Calling, yeah. London Calling by The Clash is arguably like one of the most influential albums of all time.
Right. But with this song, you can completely tell the influence of reggae in punk.
Right.
You know,
and it
all goes back to reggae songs just being played like during intermission. They're linked.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming out tonight, man. We really appreciate it. Everybody, check out Positive Vibe Technicians. Your next show. When's your next show?
February.
In February somewhere?
Sorry.
No, it's all right.
Sorry, I don't have
somewhere any... in February, but check out Positive Vibe Technicians.
It's at Finnegan's Pub in Dyer.
Thanks for coming out tonight, man. We really appreciate it.
I appreciate
it. It was a good time, man. I really like the connection with reggae and punk. I knew it was always there, but no one's ever like schooled me on it. So thank you. All right, man.
All right.
I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated. That's right. I'm musically meditated.